Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. My burden today is that the Lord would help us to have God in His proper place in our lives and to be able to keep God where He ought to be in our lives. God is God. And I think we have a wrestle sometimes with that. I know just from observation in my lifetime as a minister, I've run into it many times of where there's a statement of God. There is a testimony of God. But it seems like there is little reality in the life that God is God. And I want us to realize today that God isn't the position of God in our hearts shouldn't change by the circumstances of life. God is God, even if your life seems to be going badly. God's still God. If the wrong people are elected office, then what you think? God's still God that when the world seems to be contrary to what you believe and think. God is still God. Brother Clint gave us a little exhortation before service about the constants of life. God is constant. And He's to be that to us no matter what the situations are. In life, we judge relationships a lot of times by our God's the relationship we have with God many times by the way we do with people. And we can get close to someone and find that this person and me and this person just mesh. We just get along, and then all of a sudden something happens that we don't just get along. And instantly there is a something happens with my emotions and happens with the way I think about things, and all of a sudden it isn't the same that it was, but Lord help us today that God hold a position in our life as God. He's God. He's always right. We believe that God is love. God's always love. It doesn't change by what seems to be changing around me. So everything's going well and I'm on the mountaintop and finances is good and health is good and life is good and I'm honored by people and the neighbors seem to like me right now and all the things that go along with life and it's all good and so therefore God is good. And God's in my life and blessing and hallelujah and it's all great as long as things are going that way. But then things change sometimes. I'm not always honored. Sometimes it's amazing how unhonorable I am by people. I'm saying, what is all of this? What is happening now? And then sometimes health goes and things change around it. Do you know God is still God? And Lord, help us to put God in that place and position in our life. When I pray and leave home, I don't remember one, Harley, that we leave home and we don't pray before we pull out of the driveway. And I'm realizing I need God. So many things can happen on the highway and problems can happen and all these kind of things. But do you know, over the years, it's been a miracle how God has helped us on the roads. I've been full-time since 95. And God has blessed us in vehicles and blessed us in keeping us out of accidents and all of those kind of things. Do you know God's still God if my vehicle tears up? And God's still God if we have an accident. He doesn't change by the turn. Somehow something's changed because the circumstance changed. We have faith in the unchangeable God. God is God. Circumstances changes, God don't change. And God also owns all of those circumstances, folks. When I say God loves us, I know that the circumstances are God, and He can allow anything in there for our own good. So that's my burden. I'm gonna attempt, by the Lord's help, to impress it. In the book of Job, in the second chapter of Job, leading up to the second chapter, stories told about how Job lost all of his possessions, all of the things that he had in his life. Life was going along really, really good for Job. God had put a hedge around him, according to Satan. He was defending him from all evils and everything, and God was blessing his hand at everything that he'd done. He had great flocks and herds, and he had children, and he had all of these things. He was a king of the east. He had all, he was blessed beyond measure. And now he starts losing all of these things. And now the second chapter. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth on hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And his wife, and said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Several times in the scripture, there's these places that give you a definite impression of two sides. One was in the passage of scripture that says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose you this day, one passage says, here I'll put cursing, blessings, life and blessings, and over here it's cursing to death. Choose the two. There's two different ones. In the Garden of Eden, there was obviously the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. It was true. Obviously, there was choices. One could be handled and ate up freely. The other one was not to be touched. There was definitely two sides on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross, and on two sides was two different competing opinions, two different ideas. One man found eternal blessing, and the other, in bitterness of heart, didn't. And obviously, there was two ideas. Now there's two ideas expressed in this passage, too. Two different ideas, the way to approach life. They both come up to the same place in life. They both was a part of this. You could hardly say that the wife wasn't affected by what was going on with Job. Obviously, it was great effect when all of her substance was gone, too. Everything that made her comfortable in life was gone, too. The children come from somewhere. I guess there was, I had a mom here. There's a mother. She lost greatly in this whole thing, too. There's obviously here a position to where that you can have different opinions of what it is. And so the wife comes along. I don't know. I know my wife's going to say yes to this, and I know I grew up with him. But have you ever had boils? They are miserable. You can get one, and when that thing's growing and coming out, I mean, it can make you terribly miserable. And the expression of Job is that he had them from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. It doesn't say how many, but I know one can keep you awake. And he had all of these. When he got touched, he got touched good. This was a serious situation that you're going to have to consider here. And this is the position now Job is in. And his wife comes and says to them, will you still remain in the same place? And you're still going to have... Do you know God's still God? God is still God in this situation. God still knows what he's doing. God still can be trusted in. We need to look beyond the circumstances, and our faith is in God. That's where we anchor our souls. It's in God. We say of the Lord, we should say of the Lord, in all faith, I don't know how to go to heaven, Lord. I don't know how to purify my own self. I don't know what will qualify me. You do. You do. It might take more than I would do for myself. It almost definitely would take more than I would do for myself if it comes down to having boils all over me. But God is still God in the middle of this too. But the wife comes and says, are you ready to give up your integrity? Curse God and die. Job's answer to that was, but he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. You're talking like a heathen. You're talking like a pagan. You're talking about like somebody that don't ever know God or have God in their life, that's never seen the goodness of God, that knows God's real. We testify of God being real. I want to ask you an obvious question here. Which one of these people are impressive to the plan of salvation? Which one of them would draw you to the plan of salvation? Which one of them speaks that I know my God lives? Which one of them? Obviously, this one comes and says, curse God and die. Why are you speaking like someone that doesn't know anything about God? You're speaking foolishness. I would say in my heart and mind, and hopefully all of our heart and minds, if I was covered all over with boils, I'd need God more than I've ever needed him before. Brother Sam has used to say, heard him say it a number of times. He says, I've noticed people run from God when they should be running to him. When times get tough is not a time to run from God. Run to him. That's what he's designed it for. God's wanting to get something into there. So it's like this. Adam Clark had an expression. I won't use his expression. I'll use one that I got the essence of it. It would be like someone coming along to you and saying, I have, you pick the car, a Lexus, a BMW, you pick your car that's what I'd like to have. And they come along with one that's just completely loaded right off the line and says, here's a gift. I'm going to let you use this. And for 5 years, it's totally in your driveway. You just drive it however, put the miles on it. And then one day he comes and says, okay, I want to take my car now, and here's you this Subaru, a rusty one, old one, got miles on it, creaks and scrapes and bangs, and here it is. And for to say, well, what kind of a person are you to do something like that? Job's making this expression. Look what God done for us. Look what the blessings of God has been in our lives, how good God is to us. How can you doubt God now? God has done all of these things and let us do this. Why would you lose your integrity for God now? He's already proven what he cares and what he's doing. The blessings, the gifts, everything that God's done. God's not through. But you know that God isn't God because it's a BMW or an old rusty Subaru? That isn't what makes God. God is the consistence of good in our life. I'm going to tell you, he'll give you the good one when you need it, and he'll give you the bad one when you need it. What's impressive to the world isn't somebody that drives a BMW and never has anything going on in their life. That ain't impressive. It's not impressive when somebody murmurs, complains when they don't have those kind of things. That's not impressive. It's not impressive to tell somebody to give up their integrity and die. That's not impressive. But to me, Job's impressive. This is what he says. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Now the word evil here does not mean in any way demonic or morally reprobate. The term evil here just simply means bad fortune, bad thing, something bad that happens in your life. Shall we receive the good things of life and not the bad? Shall we receive rain in its time that grows our crop and but resist the frost that comes and kills it? Job is saying, God is God. God is God to me, and what he sends is what is supposed to be sent. I don't know how to do it, and God does know how to do it. So God is expressing here is, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and praise and thank God for the goodness that he brings into our life and not praise him and thank him for the evil that comes into our life? What if it's the evil, and again, not evil in a wicked way, twisted way, immoral way, but just simply things that's bad to life or seemingly bad to life? What if it's the things that's bad to life that brings the good things? We all know that it's true. We all know that we need to be challenged from time to time with the pressures of life, with the things of life. We all know that. The end of Job was, is that his testimony was, is that I come forth as pure gold. There were still things in Job's life. He was an honorable man. God testified to his life. But yet there was things in there that God had to work with and deal with. And he said, I come forth as gold, it's it all. At the end, God's always going to be there. We need to know, we live as though God is real in our life. And how many times that I run into it, I'm questioning of Christianity where there's no reality that they really believe God is there. God, I mean, really believe. Can this really happen? Act as if, can an event in your life really happen without God seeing it? I have to ask the question over and over. Where's God in your situation? Where's God in this situation? Is God seeing this? Did God miss it? None of us would say that he missed it. We would say, no, God would have to see that. Well, then what's he doing? What's actually happening here? God is still God. You ever hear the saying, well, to make a short story or a long story short, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell a long story. I'm going to make a short story long. Back in the spring, one of my sons said to me, Dad, I'm going to set you up on Facebook. And I said, no, you're not. And he said, now, Dad, he loves technology. He loves the gadgets. He just loves the foot. I'm going to set you up. And I said, no, you're not. Well, Dad, he said, listen, it's a good forum to get to stay in contact, to do this. And so I'm going to set you up. It's a good way for us to be able to communicate and all this stuff. I'm going to set you up on it. So I said, oh, okay, if that's all there is, you do it. I'm going to do it. Well, he did, and then I started asking, well, what is all this? And I found out that you can control it. It's a controllable thing. I didn't say everything on there worked well to start with, but it's a controllable. It's something that, and anyway, I got to getting in contact with people that I hadn't been in contact with for 40 years, people that I went to school with. And I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do with this forum that I got? There's people involved. And, over the years, I'd get people used to just hang up on telemarketers and do all that. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're robos now. Even if they sound like they are, I'm telling you. Many of them, you can even ask them a question and they'll answer it. But I like to throw something completely off. And one of them even said, I never thought it was a person. And I ended up saying to it, well, what's the weather like where you're at? And they come back with the question, what was the question? Well, what's the weather like? And he said, well, I'm sorry, we cannot answer your question at this time. We'll have to give you to management. And I thought, this ain't real here. But when it was real, I always took the position is that these are souls. Yeah, it's a telemarketer trying to get in maybe on your time, but it was a human being. It was a soul. Somebody that, and so I had great conversations with them over the years and enjoyed many times a telemarketer. Hey, a telemarketer. What better way? They're the one that called. I mean, what, is it going to hang up on me? Well, you called, and so I can just talk with them. And so I took the same position with the Facebook. They're people, they're souls. There's things I can say and things that can encourage and show them a life that they don't normally see. And so I felt like the Lord really blessed, and some of my old people that I hadn't seen in 40 years, I actually got to the place that I was praying for them and counseling them. And the Lord was really blessing. And so I started praying more, Lord, what you want to do. And I ended up meeting people all over the world, basically. Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Africa, Kenya, Uganda, all these people that I met all over the place. And it's been an adventure. I've loved meeting them, but I found out something. What I found out is that most people at the bottom is the same everywhere you go. These were all Christian. That was the link. It was Christian people. And I've always thought that probably in these very poor, poverty-stricken places, that people must have faith. And I found out that they don't. I found out that they go completely to pieces and don't really believe that God's really God. I've been trying to encourage them that God's God. God's God. God can't be there if their situation's so bad. No, God's God. So I met this girl, a young woman, 23 years old, from Uganda, about 2 months ago. And I want to tell this story to the glory of God. Some of the folks from home have already heard it. But this touched my heart so much. Because when it happened, I thought of the passage of Job. This woman, young girl, was completely a street girl. She grew up in the street. Till she was 7 years old, she never knew her mom and dad. And she grew up to be seven by the help of an old woman who was half-witted, had something wrong mentally. And this woman died when this girl was 7 years old, and she was on her own from 7 years until she grew. Missionaries come by in her early teens, somewhere through there, and she got saved and started living for the Lord at that age. I can tell you a lot of terrible stories, but she grew up on the streets, but she found Jesus. And her mission now in her life, as she says, she's got 14 orphan street children that she took in and is trying desperately to help them. And so, like I said, there's a lot of details in that, but she got all these street children. So last week, I saw that she was online, and which is very rare, but she's online 7 hours different, and it was 3:30 in the morning where they live in Uganda. And I saw that she was on, so I asked her name's Brenda. I said, Sister Brenda, what's wrong? And she comes, she got messages on and says, she called me Mr. Marty. Mr. Marty, the landlord is here, and he's insisting that we get out. Well, my question was, it's 3:30 in the morning? Yes, at 3:30 in the morning, he's demanding, the children are sleeping, he's demanding that we get out. She's, I am 2 months behind on rent. He's demanding that we get out right now or pay the rent. I have nothing to pay. I have to get out. It's rainy. It's miserable. It's cold. Got to get out. And said, please pray that he'll show mercy. I'm begging him to show mercy. Well, I'll stay with you. And I stayed there on there. And she ended up texting back and said he showed no mercy. And he put us out. And he put a lock on the door. And so we're locked out. We're locked out of the house. And I said, well, did you have blankets? And she said, no, we only own one blanket for 15 people. We only have one. And he wouldn't let us get it. And I said, what about your food? No, he wouldn't let get the food either. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're huddled all against the house. We're all huddled up against the house. And I said, Sister Brenda, what will you do? She said, Mr. Marty, we're all street children. We've slept outside many, many times. And she said, it is the will of God for us tonight to be out here up against the wall. And when she said that, I'm telling you, I mean, tears was in my eyes. I was like, what a faith. God is still God. The one that kept her alive the years that she said he kept me alive through all of these dangers. He done all this. He's gave me these children. All of this. He has said sleep outside tonight. He has said be up against the wall tonight. I was like, wow, what a testimony. I want some of that. I want to know that God, I want to believe that God is God. I have so much. I am so blessed. I am on the low level in this country, but I'm in the highest place in the world. I've got so much to look at, so many blessings, so many things. To think that me and my family would be without blanket or cover tonight, out up against the wall, and say, God's will be done. Lord, help me. Because I've always been the kind that would be complaining a little bit. Somebody's fault. What happened here? Who let me down? Some of those things running through my mind. God is still God tonight. God is still God when the weather's bad out here. And it was a remarkable thing because God's working and I know he is. And so I was able, they was out there and there, and that, but that was the testimony. God has said this. And I was on with these other people in Pakistan and different places, and I was saying to them, Sister Brenda's in trouble. The children are in trouble. Pray for them that God would be able to do something. Well, in the modern world, you can do something. Thank the Lord for it. But we was able to get her the assets that she needed. At 4 o'clock in the morning, she's walking a half hour in pitch dark to go to the landlord's house to say that I can pay you and I can prove I can pay you. And was able to get the key walking a half hour back. And tears of sorrow was turned to tears of joy as they went rejoicing into their house. All the children were reading, shouting and rejoicing that they could go back into the house and be cold in the house instead of being cold out of the house. Because one blanket don't go very far. But it's the will of God. Because God can give. God can provide. God can do things. God is still God. I told Sister Brenda, I said, Sister Brenda, God's polishing you for one of his jewels in his crown. Because if we all could have that attitude and heart, we could show the world what God really is. We could show a real faith and belief in God. There was a story in Streams and Desert that I read back in the year sometime. And it was it's talking about Pebble Beach, California. Probably most everybody's heard about it. It's very old. It's a popular place. There's a golf course there. It's kind of a resort. I've never been there. But the writer was talking about Pebble Beach. And what makes it Pebble Beach and people will go there is the gravel, the polished gravel. And it's a well-known place and people will go and get them a pebble, a very fine polished pebble as a memento to take home. And the writer was saying just around the curve, around the bend, there where the ocean comes in, the tide comes in, is a cove. And the same rock formations and everything is there just like it is over there, but the rocks protrude out and make a protected cove against the rough waves. And so it's a quiet, peaceful place. But you can't get no pretty stones there. Because the waves, the intense waves of the ocean is what polished, rolled and hit and polished and grind and grit and all the turbulence and everything is what polished the stones into something that somebody wants to take home. You go around into the peaceful cove, it's peaceful, it's quiet, you can go around there. But there's nothing polished. There's nothing very good there. I mean, nothing to take home, nothing to be. You wouldn't name the place after it. They named it after Pebble Beach. They named it after, there's something here that's unique and special. There's something unique and special about salvation. There's something that makes people polished. That makes them better. It isn't of our own doing. You don't polish yourself. But God wants to polish us with the things. Job said, I come forth as pure gold. It was the bulls. It was the Chaldeans. It was the loss of my things. It was the struggle. The struggle that I had to keep God in the right place and keep my integrity. That he didn't charge God foolishly. God, you're God and you know what you're doing. And you always know what you're doing. And it's for the polishing. It's to make us better. People go through some hard, terrible things in life sometimes. And sometimes it's really hard to think that God is involved in those kind of things because they are so hard. But that's to bring God down from his true position. God's God no matter what happens in life. I can't explain everything and neither can you, and you never will be able to. You can't explain it all. But I'll say this, the wave, God still wants the waves beaten in. There'll be times of great rest and calm and blessings. And then there's going to be storms come. And they're all designed to help us to be able to put God in the right place and say, I know you live. I know you're the same. I was there when, the old song says, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I know that I'm saved. I know God's working in my life. I know the miracles that God has performed. I was telling you the story about Sister Brenda. It was so, it was such a blessing to me because the other people that I was dealing with to try to help them with faith, I had involved them in there to pray for Sister Brenda, and I was able to go back and say, God answered your prayer. This guy's heart was softened enough to give the key back and let him in, which is what they was praying for. Lord, help this guy to be softened enough. And he was, and God helped him, and they got back in there. And so these other people are rejoicing and saying, God heard our prayers. God's real. God, I mean, he heard our prayers. And then I said, yes. Yes, he heard our prayers. God's real. God's real if they hadn't made it back in, though. I'm going to tell you. I think God forever sets wanting to prove himself God to us. I think he wants the relationship to say, if you'll have faith. The scripture says that it is, without faith, it's impossible to believe. It's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is. That he is, and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is not only existent, but he's active. He's touchable. He's accessible. It's one thing to say, as 87% of the world does, that there's a God. It's another thing to say that he's accessible. That our God's working on our behalf. I don't know what the day will hold, but I know who holds it. I know that God's in all of these things that happen to us in our life. And from the greatest to the small, I want to challenge us today. From the greatest things of life to the smallest things of life, put God in his proper place and leave him there. Have God as supreme in our life. And Joseph's dad, Brother Dan, is telling me something. I wish I could remember the word he used. But he has an old, I think it's a 73 bus, isn't it? A 1973 bus. And they've had it for quite a while, and they've enjoyed it and lived in it for a while, I think. And anyway, decided he was going to get rid of his bus. And he told me, he said, I found the perfect guy for that bus. And this guy was so excited because he loved these buses. He was so excited. And I wish I could remember the word Brother Dan said he used, but it was something that I would think you'd only use towards God or a woman or somebody you really love, some passion. But he had that kind of passion that he said for that bus. I am so excited. I mean, he wasn't excited, but I am so about that bus. And I thought, boy, if we could say that about God. I just am so thrilled about living for God. I'm so excited. I'm so charged that God is doing something. And I know God wants to do something. As we look at the world, and it's obviously changing. You've not been around very long if you can't look and say that the world's changed. You that's older will acknowledge how much the world has changed in the last 30 years. 50 years has been a lot of change in there. It don't mean God's anywhere. What it does mean, though, that God wants a people that have integrity in Him and ain't going to let it go. God's going to be God when the armies come. It's still God. When the persecution comes, if it got whatever comes, it's still God. He's still God. And I'm still going to trust Him. And all he's doing is polishing us up to be a jewel in the crown. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.